Now, Iran has pledged retribution for the death of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, who was killed in an airstrike. Haniyeh, who was from Gaza but lived in Qatar, was in Tehran to attend the inauguration of the new Iranian president. Although it's widely assumed that Israel was responsible, the country hasn't formally acknowledged this. Iran's Revolutionary Guard said the killing would be met with a harsh and painful response. Meanwhile, a member of parliament from the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah said they would be ready to fight a war with Israel after an airstrike on Beirut killed one of their commanders. Vincent Jurak is Associate Professor of Middle East Politics at University College Dublin, and he's with us in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Who was Ismail Haniyeh?
Ismail Haniyeh was essentially the political leader of Hamas, head of the political bureau, living in exile for the last several years. And central to the functioning of Hamas in the region in particular, central to the negotiation process that was underway under Qatari auspices. But he had also developed close relationships with the Iranian leadership, with Erdogan in Turkey, with the Qataris, of course, and with the leadership of Hezbollah. So he was also seen as somebody who was within the sort of parameters, if you like, of the Islamist political spectrum in Palestine. He was seen as something of a pragmatist, hence his role in the negotiation process.
Now, unlike many Hamas leaders, he didn't live in hiding. I mean, he was pictured pretty often. So why did Israel choose to target him now?
It's a really good question, and it may speak to the continued Israeli insistence on the one hand that they would target Hamas leaders, that they would remain true to their commitment, Netanyahu's commitment in particular after the attacks of October 7, to take out, to use that awful expression, the Hamas leadership, but also the sense that Israel can continue to do this in a sort of calibrated way that doesn't risk embroiling the country in a broader war. And that's a calculation, of course, which is very dangerous to make under these sorts of circumstances.
And yet they chose this strike when he was in Iran. I mean, what's your assessment of how Iran has responded so far? Because these are early days.
These are indeed early days. And it is remarkable that they chose to strike in Tehran, because without a shadow of a doubt, this is a further provocation. It's a flexing of the muscles in terms of Israel sending a message to Iran and its proxies. You know, if we also include the attack on Fuad Shukr, the Hezbollah commander who was killed in the southern suburbs of Beirut, that they're willing to undertake these attacks anywhere. But the Iranian response has been a little contradictory, to the extent that you have the supreme leader, who is, of course, the dominant figure in political and military matters, declaring that it is Iran's sacred duty to avenge this killing, not least precisely because it took place on Iranian territory in the capital. And then on the other hand, you have other voices, one of the vice presidents stating that Iran has no interest in an all-out regional war. So Iran will respond, but as always, we just don't know quite what this will look like. And, you know, if you think back to the attacks in April when Iran launched 1,500 mm-hmm. missiles on Israel, it is genuinely scary to think of quite what scale that attack attack might be mounted.
As you were saying to us a few minutes ago, Haniyeh was involved in ceasefire talks. How is his death likely to impact the chances of a ceasefire in Gaza and the release of Israeli hostages?
In the short term, it's very difficult to see any prospect for negotiations. I mean, you know, as has been noted, the Qatari Prime Minister himself pointed out that it's difficult to have faith in a negotiation process when one side is assassinating the negotiator on the other side. Similarly, the Egyptian regime has stated that there's very little evidence of any political will on the part of Israel to engage in meaningful discussions. And of course, doubts have been cast on particularly Netanyahu and those to his right in Israel, on their commitment to meaningful negotiation. It's impossible to see how the assassination of Haniyeh is going to advance negotiations in the short term.
Just a few days ago, Benjamin Netanyahu was in Washington. The United States saying in the past hour or so that it didn't have advance warning of this attack. How is the political turmoil in the US with Joe Biden saying that he's not going for re-election and question marks over what happens next? How is all of that likely to affect this situation?
I think all of the key actors, but particularly on the Israeli side, are aware that they're operating in what now seems something of a political vacuum in Washington, where the leadership in terms of the US position in all of this is coming from is difficult to assess. Netanyahu's relationship with Biden, previously strong, had in any case become quite fractured, as everybody knows, in recent months. And his willingness to disregard, if you like, US concerns, I think has been strengthened by Biden's decision not to contest the election. There's also the longer term calculation. I mean, for Netanyahu, for as long as the conflict continues on grounds that he can justify, he remains in position, as everybody knows. And his hope, expectation of a Donald Trump victory in November may simply galvanize his determination to continue as he has been doing for the last several months.
Vincent Jurek, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this afternoon.